We were on John 20 and verse 13. 20 and verse 13. What is a diphthong?
Two vowels
that make one sound. Can you give an example, anybody? Sharon.
OU,
which is ooh.
Well,
all right.
A lot of
okay. That's the only way that it makes the ypsilon sound like ooh, isn't it? Ooh, like group. Okay. What is another one? What?
AI.
Okay. AI. All right. Like an aisle. And epsilon iota?
Yeah.
All right. Like ace. All right. Like an eight. These are some of the diphthongs. How many diphthongs are there? Eight. All right. Eight diphthongs. How many sigmas do you have? How many sigmas? You have two sigmas, one regular sigma and one final sigma. Just like Old English. All right. Now let's get into John, the 20th chapter. Kai, Legusin, Alte, Ekainoi, Gine, Tei, Kleis, Lege, Altoi, Hote, Eron, Ton, Kurion, Mu, Kai, Uk, Oida, Pu, Ethekon, Auton. All right, now we have a little conjunction. Now the word Kai, of course that's on page 208 if you get in that little analytical Greek lexicon there, by the way. And what different kind of ways can we use the word Kai? See, you are having a test tonight. This is what you call an oral test. All right. Cindy? But, and what else?
And?
But, is that like an adversative conjunction? And is a conjunction. And what else? Like a particle of affirmation, yes, or even, or therefore, or so. All right? Chi is pretty variable. You can use that. It's flexible. And they say, to her, those women, gyne, what English word comes from gyne? Gynecologist, all right. And it's not gynecologist, women are not goonies, they are gynes, aren't they? All right. T, all right, any, or why, that is, why? I can hardly read my own writing here. Why you cry and weep? Second person singular present indicative active. Why you cry and weep? And she says to them, all right, and who's she talking to, by the way? Angels. There's two angels there in there. What do angels always look like? They look like men. The difference between angels and spirits is what? What's the difference between angels and spirits? Angels have form, spirits do not. Spirits seek to what? Dwell in human or animal flesh. All right? And how many orders of spirits do we have?
Three
orders of spirits. How many orders of angels do we have? Three orders of angels. All right. And she says to them, these angels, because, now it's a conjunctional or a casual particle, because they carried away. That comes from Iro. They took or they carried away. Third person, plural, first aorist, indicative, active. Tell me about the action of that verb. What about that verb? What's first aorist? Brother Corey?
Punctiliar
knife blade action. What's the difference between first aorist and second aorist? Second aorist has a little more duration to it. First aorist is very punctiliar, okay? Indicative mode, a statement of fact, all right? Active voice, the subject is doing the acting, all right? And then tone kurion. Tell me about tone kurion there. What case is that in? Tone kurion. How many cases are there? Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Which one of those eight cases is this? This is the objective case in English, isn't it? So it would be what? The object is what? Accusative. Okay, it's nominative. Not nominative, accusative, singular, masculine, definite article. Accusative, singular, masculine, noun that is describing. And then we have move. Okay, now that's a genitive, singular, second person pronoun. And it is in what case? Genitive case, which is a case of what? What's a genitive case? Case of possession. All right. Where have you taken the Lord belonging to me? Okay. And adverb ignation, and not I have known. And here we have second perfect. Second perfect. Not I have known. And what's the difference between perfect and second perfect? Kind of like first and second aorist, isn't it? All right. Not I have known, I have continued to know. All right. Where? All right. Here we have a little interrogative of place, particle of place. They placed him. They placed. Third person plural, first aorist, indicative, active. They placed him. And what is him there? What? That's the third person pronoun. What case is that in? Omicron new on the end of it. That's accusative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. All right. 20 verse 14 now. Tauta. I pusa. Etrafe. Ace ta opiso. Kai there. I said that wrong. Thore. Tone. Ason. Hestota. Kai, uk, ade, hote, asus, esten. Let's look at this one. These things, tauta and akinos, isn't it? Tauta and akina. What is tauta? These things, that's like a demonstrative pronoun, isn't it? These things right here, up close. Akinos, over there, it's further away. So this is right up close. These things having said, and look at that one now. This is a participle, isn't it? It's second aorist, so it's a little bit durative, but it's punctiliar in action, and it's a continuing thing. These things having said, she was caused to turn around, is what it literally is. She was caused to turn around. And this is third person singular, second aorist, indicative, passive voice. And the passive voice tells you that she was caused to turn around because of something. Okay? Ace ta opiso. Ace ta opiso. Unto the behind. Okay, this means behind or back. And she beheld. She beheld. Look at that word beheld there. Thore. What word in English comes from thore? What word in English? What? Theater. All right. Tone asum. All right. Tone is what case is that? Tone. That's a definite article in it. Tohudistikon arthron. But what is it? She beheld what? So she beheld, so she's looking at Jesus, isn't she? So what case is that? That's objective in English. So it would be accusative in Greek. Accusative, singular, masculine. The Jesus. And then hestota. Hestota. Having stood. Having stood. That's accusative, singular, masculine. Perfect participle, active. And not she knew that Jesus he is. She saw him having stood there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Now, why don't you think that she might have known it was Jesus? Just give me an example. What do you think? What happened when the guys were on the road to Emmaus? Cindy?
His physical appearance.
His physical appearance was so different. Did he carry the scars of the cross with him? Is he still carrying them as far as we know? Yes. That reminds us what he did for us. See? So he was so different because of his appearance was marred, according to Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. Randy.
I just wonder if she's having a Balaam moment. You know, she just talked to two angels and
didn't know they were angels.
Didn't even stop to wonder. And
the girl's in shock, isn't she? Huh? How many of you have ever been in shock? Have you ever been in shock? You've been in shock, brother. You've been in shock. Are all your marbles working when you're in shock? No. Now, remember, just a few days before this, she had seen her Lord crucified and went through this traumatic shock episode. Then now she buries him. Now she's going to go back and check on him, and the tomb is open, and his body's gone. So now here's another shock. And they did not understand what we know right now, did they? How about if we'd been there with them? Would we have been a little bit, maybe, shocked?
It is kind of unusual for somebody to come back from the dead.
Yes, it is. Now, they had seen Jesus raise people to dead, but Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. He is dead. With all the historical evidence that we have that Jesus was dead, we have that extra-biblical evidence all over the place. That he was killed. He was on the cross of Calvary. The Jews, several different ones. If you read through history, you'll find them quoting Pilate's letter all over the place. Eusebius, everybody back then quoting Pilate's letter about him being dead and all this kind of stuff. You see the Jews. You see the other Romans. People that talked to Tiberius. Tiberius' statement. All of them said that he was dead. Now, here is the master of the heavens and the earth, but he's dead. Just think about that. Now, here he was raising the dead, healing all kinds of sickness, but now he's dead. And it's the wind is knocked out of their sails, okay? And so to speak, they don't have any faith left, but they have love. There's no faith, but there's love here still. I mean, they didn't understand. They couldn't put the marbles together. And he said to her, Jesus, gene, gene, gene. Now, what is this gene? What number, gender, and case is that? Gene. Which one is it? Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, or vocative? Which one is it? Vocative. It's a case of address. He's addressing her. He's addressing her, okay? Gene, vocative, singular, feminine. Why? And here we have a little interrogative, pronominal adjective. Why you keep on weeping? Why do you keep on weeping? Why are you sad? And whom, tina, whom zetes, you keep on seeking? Who is this one you keep on seeking? And now we see the other demonstrative pronoun, except this was ekine. What is ekine? We saw taute. Now ekine. What does ekine mean? That one over there, further away. Okay? That one. And thinking, judging. Dokio. Thinking, judging. Nominative, singular, feminine. Present participle active, thinking and judging that the one, he was a kapuros. Kapuros. Look at the word kapuros. It comes from two Greek words, kapos and uros. All right? Kapos means a garden. Now, this garden is like in your backyard. What do you got in your backyard? Cindy, do you have any fruit trees in your backyard? You have a pool in your backyard. Well, that's better. You don't have to go out and trim it or anything. Just go jump in it and swim. All right. Brother Randall, I know Brother Randall's got quite a few things in your backyard. I've seen that backyard.
A lot of dead grass.
A lot of dead grass, but you've got, what kind of vegetables do you have now?
I have an avocado tree that I finally got through the winter.
Okay, an avocado tree. You have an apricot tree, or what else do you have?
Apricot tree and a citrus.
Some type of citrus tree, all different kinds of trees. Now, that will classify as a garden, plus herbs. Do you have any herbs around there?
Onions.
Onions, that's right. That's an herb. All right, you have onions?
Yes.
And you could have tomatoes. Of course, they didn't have tomatoes here, did they? They didn't have any tomatoes over here. But a garden was everything between fruit trees, orchard, and everything. And now this other person, this Uros here, we have a kapos, which is a garden. Now what about Uros? What does Uros mean? That's a rare word. It means to watch, guard. Sometimes you have to have scarecrows out in your garden, don't you, to scare animals away. Something that'll flop around, make noises. People even have them say boo. They have little recording things in them now. They've got these professional scarecrows. Got professional owls that hoot. All right. The gardener he is, and she says to him. Now look at that word alto there, alto. What is that? Alto. And she says to him. Tell me what number, gender, and case that's in. That's a third person pronoun. I'll help you with that. But what is it? Alto. We will decline the singular third person pronouns here. Altos, alto, 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 alto. So which one is this? It's an omega with a iota subscript under it, isn't it? So that's in the locative, instrumental, or dative case. So which one is it? Dative, singular, masculine, two or four, okay? 2015b, Kyrie, A, C, E, bos tasso, sauce, auton, epe, moe, pu, Ethekos, auton, kago, auton, aro. Now she says to him, Lord. Now, the word Lord here, this can mean sir, mister, all right? All of this. In this case here, we have to look at this word in syntax, okay? What is the word for Jehovah in the Greek Septuagint? What is the word for Jehovah in the Greek Septuagint? Right here, Kyrios. Kyrios. But this is not in that context, is it? And what number, gender, and case is it? This is a case of address, which is a case of what? This is vocative. So she's Kyrie. All right. Lord, sir, mister. Since you, look at this, what she said. Look what she's saying to him. Lord, since you have carried him. She tells, you've carried him off. You're the one. You're here. The evidence is on my side. You carried him off. Okay? The word since there, A there, what kind of conditional particle is that? How many conditional particles are there in Greek? Remember that? Randall knows it, I know. How many conditional particles are there in Greek? How about a son? You remember that one? How about it, Pamela? Have you got it? How many is it? Four. All right, and this is the first class conditional particle. And can you give me the rule for this particle? Condition determined as fulfilled. Thank you, Cindy. Condition determined as fulfilled. So it is, Lord, since you carried him. You have carried him, all right? Second person singular, first aorist, and dignity active. She knew he did it. You're here. He's gone. You had to do it. You tell. Look at this word. You tell. You tell to me. That's second person singular, second aorist, imperative active. You tell to me where you placed him. Look at that. You placed. Second person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. You placed. That comes from tithemi. Someplace you laid him. You placed him someplace. Now, auton. Come on, girls and boys. Tell me about auton here now. Number, gender, and case on this third person pronoun. That's a recipient of action, isn't it? So that's accusative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. This is an accusative case. That's the object, remember? Kago, Kago comes from two words, kai and ago, and I. Him, I shall carry him away. First person singular, future indicative active. I'll do it. You show me where he is and I'll carry him off. Remember how Jesus was, what kind of a burial was Jesus supposed to have? What kind of Jesus burial was Jesus supposed to have?
Garbage dump.
He was supposed to have been put in the dump. I've told you about going to the Middle East in 1975 and 76. I was in Beirut, Lebanon too. That one there almost got shot up there. But we went in Damascus, Syria, and we went by the courthouse, and out in front of the courthouse was the thing over, whatever you call that thing, an arch over the entrance to the courthouse, and three men hung there for all the 9 days I was there. They were hanging there by their neck, dead. They'd hung three people. They leave them there, and then when they would have taken those people down, they would not have had a burial. They would have thrown them in the dump, wherever that was. I didn't get to see the dump. I wasn't interested in it because there's probably a lot of other dead bodies in there. All right. He was supposed to be in the dump, so she thought, well, somebody found out that he's here in this grave. Now they've gone and thrown him in the dump or whatever, and this guy is probably the gardener, so he's cleaned up the garden and got rid of this criminal, so-called. All right, 2016 now. Lege, Alte, Asus, Maria, Stra, Fesa, Ekaine, Lege, Alto, E, Baristi, Rabone, Ho, Legete, Didascale. And he says to her, Jesus says to her, Alte, look at that Alte. You see that Ada on the end of that with a what underneath that Ada? What is that called? That's an iota subscript. Now in masculine, this would look like this, which you just saw. But when it's feminine, it's like this with an iota subscript underneath it. So what case is that in? All right. What is it? It's dative, singular, feminine. Dative, singular, feminine. He says to her, to or for, that's dative case. And he says to her, dative, singular, feminine, third person pronoun, Jesus. All right. Now, Jesus is nominative, singular, masculine, isn't it? Because he's the subject. He's doing the talking here. And then Maria. Maria. What case would Maria be in? That's the case of address, which is in your vocative. All right. You learning this stuff a little bit at a time? I'm getting too much grammar in here for you? Oh, yes? Strafesa. Strafesa. This comes from strepho. All right. And it's having been caused to turn around. Having been caused to turn around. Nominative singular feminine. She has been caused to turn around. Having been caused to turn around. She has having been caused to turn around. And then that one over there, she says to him, dative singular masculine, third person pronoun, in Hebrew, Ibrasti, Rabone, Rabone. Now what kind of, Brother Roger, what language was she speaking in?
Previously, Greek?
No, she, Rabone.
Aramaic.
Okay, it's Aramaic or Hebrew. Okay, Aramaic and Hebrew are really close. So that's probably Aramaic that she's speaking here. Many of the Jews did not speak in Hebrew. Why? Well, they didn't know it technically, but why didn't they speak in Hebrew?
They considered it holy?
They considered it a holy language, and they would not speak that language. Paul the Apostle spoke Hebrew in his home. Not very many of them did. They would carry on the festivals in Hebrew because that was a holy festival. But in their common day, they would use Aramaic. Now, in the New Testament, we have two times that Psalm 22 and verse 1 is quoted. One time it's in what? Eloi eloi lama sabachthani, ele ele lama sabachthani. What two languages? Hebrew and Aramaic. All right, Hebrew and Aramaic. Different languages. Rabbi. What does rabbi mean? By the way, rabbi is on page 358 in that little analytical Greek lexicon. All right. Rabbi means what?
Doctor of theology.
That's the highest term that they use in the rabbinical schools. If you came to be called rabbi, you had to do some things. All right? You had to be a brilliant teacher to be a rabbi. You had to be a brilliant teacher. And you had to make yourself useful in society. Which it says, all right, which it says, teacher. Master teacher. 20 and verse 17. Lege aute Jesus. Me mu hoptu upo gar ana bebeka proston patera poruu de prostus adelphos mu kai. Epe autois, anabino, proston patera, mu, kai patera, hemon, kai, ton, mu, kai, ton, hemon. And he says to her, the Jesus he says to her. To her is dative singular feminine, third person pronoun in it. And he says, third person singular, present indicative active. Who can recite the present indicative active endings for the verbs? Roger, can you do that?
No.
Let's say it together. O, ace, a, omen, eddy, usi, ain. Ain is, of course, an infinitive. Okay? So it's O, ace, a. He says, third person singular, he says to her, dative singular feminine, Jesus. Now, Jesus is the one stood and talking, so that's nominative singular masculine. Now we have a particle of negation. All right, a particle of a negation. Not me. You keep on latching on to. Don't keep on holding on to me. I have something to do. Don't just keep on holding. Can you imagine what she must have been like, Brother Mike, when she saw that this is Jesus talking to her? Talk about another shock. This girl's going through shocks, all right? And who is this girl? This is the one that loved him so much because he had done so much to her, for her, all right?
This is why I say she wasn't going to let him go, because she let him go a few days earlier and he wound up getting himself crucified.
That's right. This girl loved him. She really, really loved him.
She wasn't going to let him go.
Yeah. She wanted to hold out. She was grabbing on him. She was kissing him. She was holding on to him and hugging him and just kept on kissing him and kept on holding to him. And he said, what? Turn me loose. Turn me loose. All right. I have something else to do. Not yet. Upo. All right. Upo. That's a little compound word from uk and pos. Not yet for a conjunction or casual particle gar. I have ascended. Ana bebeka. Ana and bino. Not I have carried up. And I have ascended up. Now, what did Jesus do when he went to heaven? What did he do? Where had he been, by the way? His body had been in the grave, but where was he?
Hades.
Huh? Hades. He was in Hades or Sheol. All right. And he was down there doing what? Telling those people, it says that Peter said he was down there preaching. Telling them that he had overcome the devil in this world, and that he was going to go and take them with him. Going to take them with him. All right. He said, I haven't yet ascended. And when he rose up, he took them with him. I think that, now this is my own theology, I think he took everybody in Sheol with him, and I think everybody was raised from the grave, from all the way from Adam on. We know that at least some of them were, a great number of them were. All right? Now, not everybody that had died was in Jerusalem, was it? And buried in Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem. They were all over the country. Those graves were coming up in Babylon and everything else. You think that shook the whole world up? How come people down in Egypt and everything else knew about this? Have you ever think about that a little bit? Maybe some of them graves popped open down there of those believers. Not yet I have ascended, pros ton patera. Pros ton there, we have a preposition, that's pros, and that's to or toward. All right? Ton patera. Okay, ton is what case? Acute singular masculine definite article. The Father. Now he says he gives her a command. Paru'u. Paru'u. And that is second person singular present imperative middle voice. I want you to go for yourself. I want you to do this. Now I want, just get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Control yourself. And I want you to go now of your own volition. But I want you to go toward the brothers. Look at this now. Tone, okay, that's accusative singular masculine in it. But what is tous? That's accusative plural masculine. And these are second declension words, by the way. There's first, second, and third declension words. Toward the brothers, adelphus. Who's he talking about here? Huh?
His church.
Huh?
The Christians of his church, the apostles.
These were his brothers, all right. Yeah. How about his own family? When did his brothers believe and his sisters believe? When did Jesus' brothers and sisters believe?
Now.
Right now. Right now. The mama, the brothers and sisters are all around here, people. This is a very important time. Now he's going to go to his brothers and his mother and also his brethren. All of them. Literally, it says here to his brothers from the same womb. This was be his literal brothers. And then, how many people in the New Testament, how many of Jesus' brothers wrote books in the Bible? What were those books?
James,
James and Jude. All right, James and Jude. These are his literal brothers. These are Mary's children. These are from the same woman. I don't care what the Catholic Church says. These are birth brothers of Jesus. Okay? James and Jude, the brothers of me. And you say to them, you say, second person singular, second aorist imperative active, to them, dative plural masculine third person pronoun. See that one? I go up. I carry up. I go up. Literally, it means I to carry or I convey up toward the Father of me and the Father of you and the God of me and the God of you. Look at that. My God and your God, my Father and your Father. Yes.
So did he ascend twice? Did he go right after this and then did he come back?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he ascended twice.
He's traveling. Oh. Pretty quick. You remember what the Muslims say about Adam? Now this is what we call a fairy tale, but this is what the Quran says. That Adam was so tall when God created him, and of course now Muhammad must have had a real fantastic idea how big the earth was, because he said it was like 4 million miles into the seventh heaven is what he called it. Adam's standing here. And his shoulders and head are all the way up in here where? Into the seventh heaven. Now we know that's a little bit ridiculous, don't we? This is not possible. The earth is very small. It would be like a grain of salt underneath his feet if he was that tall, if you could even measure it. All the way up in here, okay? And he was up there getting in trouble, listening to all the angels and getting involved in their business, and they said, Allah, what are you going to do about this guy you created? So he zipped him down to about 10 foot tall and let him run around on the earth only. Now, this is a fairy tale. This is a real story. Now, Jesus, when Jesus dies, he's put in the grave for 3.5 days, basically, and he's raised from the dead. And he meets Mary here, and Mary's clinging and holding on to him. And he said, I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Now he goes to the third heaven. That's no problem for Jesus now. Because why? He is God for one thing, and what else? He's in a glorified body. Angels have no trouble going between dimensions, do they? Angels don't have any trouble. Spirits don't have any trouble going between dimensions. How many dimensions are there? Ten dimensions as far as the science knows. So now he goes from earth, zip, to the third heaven. Then he's going to zip back. No problem. How fast can he travel? Beyond the speed of light. Okay, now the speed of light. Is the speed of light variable as far as I know now? It's a, how many, Cindy knows this, she's a scientist. 186,000 feet per second. Miles per second? Miles per second. And that varies according to atmosphere. Height, altitude, everything. Okay? We know that's not, we thought that the speed of light was standard, but we know that it varies a little bit. Okay? It's kind of spooky. He was going to be going faster than the speed of light, wasn't he? But see, he's divine. I have no problem with that. Adam, I can guarantee you, didn't stand on the earth and have his head and shoulders in the seventh heaven. Even though there are not even seven heavens, there's only three heavens. Okay? On down to 18 now. Erkete, Maria, He Magdalene, Ang Ge Lusa, Tois Mathetes, Hote, Eureka, Ton, Curion, Kai Tauta, Epain Aute. All right. Almost brought one of my Talmuds tonight because I was going to read something to you out of it. And she comes, Mary, the Magdalena. She comes, third person singular, present, indicative, middle voice. What does that tell you, Brother Roger?
She did it for herself.
She did it for herself. In Hebrew, what would be the mode here?
Volitative.
The volitative. What is it? Volitative. It's volitative, but what is it? Cohortive or jussive? That would be the kind of the affirmation of the tense, okay? Cohortive and jussive, all right? Did it for herself. Come, Mary. Comes. She comes, Mary. Mary means what?
Sad.
What does it mean? Bitter. Bitter. Or sad or bitter. All right? Mary. The waters of Marah, remember in the Old Testament, the waters of Marah which were bitter. Hey, Magdalene. Magdalene. All right, what's Magdalene mean? How many of you know what Magdalene means? Magdalia. Cindy, you know what that one is? How about it, Sharon? Magdala. All right. How about it back there, young lady? You know what that one is, Pamela? Roger?
Well, it suggests that she's from that town.
She's from that town. All right. Magdalena, by the way, is this woman from Magdalia. That's what it means. That's Magdalena. What about this? What does this Magdalene mean?
It was a frontier town where lawless.
It was a very, it was a really advanced town. A lot of rich people lived there, like New Orleans and San Francisco and Oakland and stuff like this. This is a very risque place, okay? And here they were known for their wonderful, educated, beautiful courtesans, prostitutes. And evidently Mary Magdalene was one of them, all right? And it means high tower. Advance. It means, it could mean even glorious, okay? If you take it from the right Hebrew source. Matthew 27:56-61, 28:1, Luke 7:36-56, we could go and look at Mary Magdalene and see that she was possessed, wasn't she? She was possessed. How many demons were in her? Seven demons. All right, seven demons were in her. That's a lot better than Legion. He had a couple of thousand in him. But seven would play havoc with a person. But she was very, very beautiful, according to their history. She was a very gracious, she was educated, and she was a performer. You know, she could do poetry, she could do all kinds of things, and these were the courtesans of the day. Okay, they were entertainers of rich people. She was a rich courtesan. What was the most famous courtesan in American history and in Europe, the Jewish courtesan? What was her name? Sarah Bernhardt. She was raised as a courtesan. Why did the Jews raise some of their daughters as prostitutes? Remember why? Politically why? It was politics. Not only money, but politics. So they could go and court the kings and princes of Europe so they could have a place where they could stay, because the Jews were not liked very well, because the Jews had a lot to do with money and banking. And when they controlled their money, they didn't like it. All right. Magdalena, a courtesan, a high-class courtesan. But the Lord saved her, and she was no longer a high-class courtesan, but she did carry some of her money with her, didn't she? The girl was rich. What was the other Mary's name that was rich also? And they did one act that both of them repeated, or one of them repeated after the other one. I think Mary Magdalene did it first. What did the other Mary do? They both washed his feet with their tears and anointed him with very, very expensive oil, perfumes. And it cost a lot of money, over a year's wages. A lot of money. Announcing to the mathetes, all right, tois mathetes. What does the word mathetes mean? Habitual learners. All right, it's dative plural masculine. Dative plural masculine, definite article, dative plural masculine noun. Hote, that. Eureka. We got a word eureka in English from that, don't we? What does eureka mean?
I found it.
And what she says here, I have found and I have seen. First person singular, perfect indicative active. I have seen and I have found the Lord. The Lord there is accusative singular masculine, definite article, accusative singular masculine noun. That's the case of the object. She's found him. She's got a hold of him. I had him in my own hands. I had him. And tauta, these things right here, accusative plural, neuter, demonstrative pronoun, these things right here, he said to her. The Talmud references to Magdalia as an unsavory, wild New Orleans type of place. By the way, the Catholic Church in Naples in 1324, they had a rescue mission there where they went out and rescued the soil doves or the fallen ladies, and they had it was called a Magdalena Homes. 20 and verse 19. 20 and 19. Uses. Un. Opsios. Te hamera. Ekaine. Te mia sabaton. Kai. Ton theron. Kekles menon. Hupo, Hason, Hoi, Mathete, Dia, Ton, Phobon, Ton, Eudeon, Elthane, Ho, Esus, Kai, Este, Aston, Meson, Kai, Legay, Altois, Arene, Himen. Now they're in a hideout. The disciples are in a hideout. They're hiding out. Why? Jesus was no longer there to protect them from the mobs, the Jewish mob, that wanted everybody that thought he was a Christian dead. They wanted him dead. Basically, there was a warrant out, a Jewish warrant out for the death of Lazarus, wasn't there? And for Jesus. There were two warrants, what we call all points bulletins. Kill him, kill him. Okay? Being therefore early in the day, early in the day, that in the first day of the week. Now, what's the first day of the week? First day of the Sabbath? It's what it literally Sabbath, isn't it? What does Sabbath mean?
Completion.
Huh? Completion. It means completion. All right. Now, this is early, the first day of the Sabbath. The Sabbath means a whole week. At the end of that week, it's called a Sabbath. Sometimes there can be several Sabbaths in a week if there's holy days on. Because Sabbath means week. Sabbath is not only the Sabbath day, but it also is the word for week. The first day of the week. And the theron. And the doors having been locked. The doors having been locked and under key. The word kleisēs there, that means kleō or kleisēs, that's key. Now they had already invented locks and keys back then, by the way. Where were locks invented? Who invented the locks? You remember? Remember when we, Ninevites, they invented locks, and what else did they invent? Crucifixion. All right? A very important thing. Locks and crucifixion. And the doors having been locked down, where they kept on being the disciples, because the, what? The fear of the Jews. They were in fear of their lives. They were in hideout. They were looked at as outlaws. The fear of the Jews. Today I read Caiaphas' letter. There's two parts. One of them, why he crucified to the Sanhedrin. And then the second part of it, which I'm not really sure whether how valid that is. But the first part of it, to me, is very valid. And it's been quoted in history quite a few times, so I don't think it's just a Johnny-come-lately thing. But it talks about how that they thought that they were doing God a service by doing this. This man is wrecking our religion. We had all the right in the world to crucify him. He writes this letter to the Sanhedrin court and to the Romans. Why that they did what they did. He was causing trouble. He was breaking the law. He said the law is of none effect. He said that he was running with prostitutes and sinners. He said, how in the world can a man be godly at all with prostitutes and sinners? Terrible people. Lowlifes. And drunks. These are drunks. And lepers. Sitting at the table with lepers. Terrible. How can this be right? All right? And so he said we had all the right in the world to demand his death. All right? Demand his death. Now, these people are living in fear. The fear of the Jews, and he came, and here he came. He came, third person singular, secondary, indicative, active. He came to Jesus. Jesus shows up now. Where had Jesus been in the meanwhile? To heaven and back. To the third heaven and back. No baloney. This is no fairy tale. He was there, and he came back now. Now he's back here. And he stood eis to meson. Excuse me, I have an ear infection that is working me over. Working my throat over. See if I can continue here. And the Jews, and the Jesus, he came, the Jesus, and he stood in the middle of them, eis to meson, right in the middle of them. Every one of them could see him. He's in the middle of them. They're all looking from different directions. And he says to them, deity plural, now look and see what he says. Areni. What would that be in Hebrew? Shalom. All right, but he says it in Greek, doesn't he? If he'd said it in Hebrew, it would have said it in Hebrew, wouldn't it? I want you to understand Jesus speaking in Greek. Anytime anybody speaks in a different language, it says they spoke in a different language, doesn't it? Simple, yes or no? The movie The Passion, you know, they had all that in Aramaic. Well, it didn't fly. Because the Bible tells you when they're speaking Aramaic. Talitha kumei, what language? Talitha kumei. That was a quotation in the Greek Bible. Talitha kumei, Brother Roger.
Aramaic.
Made arise. All right, Talitha kumei, made arise. And he says to them, Ereni himin. Ereni himin. Peace. On page 575 in Bullinger's analytical Greek Hebrew lexicon, basically, it says tranquility. It means calmness, absolute absence of strife or fear or anything. That's what this word means. And it's Ereni, and it also is shalom. And what does the word shalom mean?
Agreement of
peace. Agreement. When you have agreement, you can have peace. Until you have agreement, you don't have peace. You don't have peace. In the Arab world, there's hudna. What does that mean? Hudna. Remember, Brother Mike, what that means? That means I'll make peace with you until I'm stronger than you are, then I'm going to cut your throat. Let's make a temporary peace, and I'm going to break it. That's what was established between Muhammad and Mecca, remember? 10-year peace treaty. Well, when he got more powerful, then he walked on them and murdered them. And Rob took everything they had and sent them packing, the ones that were alive. Kai, Tuto, Apon, Edexen, Tas, Keras, Kai, Tain, Pluron, Altois, Xar, Rason, Un, Hoi, Mathete, Edontes, Ton, Kurion. And this thing having said, this thing here, Tuto, and this thing here having said, he pointed out. That's third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active, and that comes from diakneme. Diakneme. All right? That means to point out. And we get our word index finger from that. All right? And he pointed out the hands. Did I jump over anything here? Nope. And he pointed out the hands and the side to them. The hands and the side. The word keros here means everything from here there. By the way, keros. That means all of this part of the arm. And where was Jesus? Where did the nails, where had they nailed him? Through his carpal tunnel, according to the historical events. They even have some of those nails and some of the crosses. Did you know that? The Jehovah's Witnesses always say that he was crucified on a stake, a staros, because that's what it says. But the word staros evolved where it meant crucifixion. It started out in Nineveh as a stake, and then it went to an X-type cross, and then it went to a tau-type cross, and that's how Jesus was crucified on that tau-type cross. And the nails were put in his wrist. They drove the nails through, and they put a washer on top of it. If they put it through his hand, how did they get up to breathe? They died of suffocation when they were crucified. It would have pulled out of his hands if it had been in the hand. It's right here in the carpal tunnel is where they drove it. Not only that, but that's where all the nerves go. It probably wasn't just so it wouldn't pull out, but this is what's going to hurt the most. Okay? And then he drove it to his feet. So it's pushing and pulling all the time, push up and pull down. So he takes and he shows them the scars in his hands. And the side, all right, and in his side, he was stabbed with a sword or spear. History tells us that the Jews demanded that they want, and they found a Goliath sword, and they stabbed him with the sword because they thought it was a very powerful thing, and we want to kill him bad. They want him double dead. So they stabbed him in the side, and they stabbed him in the stomach, and it went up into his cardiac cavity, and out come what? Water and blood. All right. So now he shows them that he still has these scars. Jesus carried the scars after his resurrection. Yep. The Gnostics are wrong. Yep. Muhammad's wrong. Islam's wrong. All of the people that say that Jesus was not crucified, they're all wrong. Historically, we have many. I got up and read for 2 weeks, two different classes, and read all the historical accounts of Jesus being crucified outside of the Bible. There is more evidence outside of the Bible that Jesus was crucified than it's in the Bible. Did you know that? A lot of it. A lot of historical evidence. Bad and good. The Jews always looked down upon him. They, not one of them ever denied that he did a miracle, did they? He did the miracles, but according to the Jews, how did he do the miracles?
Magic.
By the power of the devil. And where did he get the power and where did he learn how to do this, according to them? Down in Egypt. All right. And that's exactly what Caiaphas said. He, when he went down to Egypt, when he went down there, he got all these miraculous power. He said, we're not saying that he didn't raise the dead or heal the sick. What we're saying that he was not a Jew. He did everything against Judaism. Everything. And Caiaphas is not the only one that said that. I read several letters from Jews at that period of time, basically all saying the same thing. He did all these things all right. And if he was raised from the dead, he was raised by the power of Satan. All right. Pleuron, and the side, the pleuron. What word in English do we get the word pleuron from?
Pleurisy.
All right, that pain in your side, you know, you get. And the side to them. And he showed his hands and he showed his side to them. Dative plural, third person pronoun. And then, what did they do? They were caused to rejoice. Third person plural, second aorist, indicative passive. They were caused to rejoice, therefore, the disciples. Now they don't have to be afraid anymore. Their master, their king, is with them again. And he can do anything. He raised himself from the dead. Nobody can kill us now. We're done. Everything's okay. Rejoicing. They didn't know what was going to happen yet. I mean, they're on a steep learning curve, aren't they? That's like I am on that computer business, Brother Randall. I think I've worn him out him teaching me how to use that computer. It's steep, straight up learning curve, I think. And they rejoiced, therefore, the disciples, having seen the Lord. 20 and verse 21. Epein un autois, Pauline ad rene, himen kathos, apestaleken, me ho, pater kago, pempo himas. Therefore he said to them again, peace to you. Boy, what wonderful word that is, isn't it? Peace. My Greek and Hebrew teacher, the one I told you I put his sermons out this week, I think about 25 of them. You'll find out where I got my preaching style. Absolutely. I just absolutely adored him. He had Alzheimer's really bad and dementia. He was still teaching in seminary in Fresno, and driving from Lancaster to Fresno, having wrecks both directions, all kinds of stuff. Couldn't hardly find his air. When they got him in the room up there, they had to lead him from classroom to classroom. He couldn't find his room. But when he sat down, he could teach Greek and Hebrew real good if they could get him in the classroom. Well, his daughter finally, he had so many wrecks and everything, his daughter finally came out here from Shawnee, Oklahoma, and got him and took him home. And she brought his Bible to me and gave it to me at his funeral in 1998 or 1999, I can't remember now. And in that Bible, one of the last things that he had written, he had gone to page 575 and the lexicon I told you about a while ago, Bullinger's lexicon. And he wrote down all the words for peace in his very shaky hand. And I remember that so well. He needed peace right then. Last time I talked to him, I called him, Brother Hubbard, how you doing? He said, I'm wore out. John Wayne and I just got back from going from Texas to Oklahoma, taking 10,000 head of cattle. And he said, I'm just wore plumb out. And he meant it. Because that's what he was doing. He was a cowboy. Because I was a cowboy. Shooting because I shot. Talking on the radio because I talked on the radio. All the things. Peace to you. I carry that little piece of paper with me every now and then in his Bible. Just as he sent me, the Father, I also send you. Now here's where he's sending his church out. He's going to send it out. Let's go one more verse, 22. If we did 23, though, we'd have 10 verses tonight. Kai tuto, a pon. And a fisethen, kai lege, autois, labete, numa hagiu. And these things having said, he breathed in, and he says to them, Ye receive the Spirit holy. I think when he breathed upon them, his spirit was, the breath he breathed was holy. But yet they were going to have the Holy Spirit yet to come on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? And he told them to wait there. 40 days he was with them, by the way. And then they waited without him for 10 more days. Boy, they were pretty brave on the day of Pentecost, weren't they? Just think about that. Pretty brave on the day of Pentecost. The fear. When Stephen got up and preached to the Sanhedrin court there in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, he didn't hold anything back. He told the whole history of Israel, and then he said, and you crucified the Lord of glory. And then they killed him, stoned him, and Paul was there. Saul at that time was his name. But he was there, and he held, and he's the one that gave him the death sentence and probably threw the first stone. But he died, didn't he? Gladly. Bravely. To them ye take, ye receive the Spirit holy. On 23. On tinon aphete tas hamartias a fionte autois on tinon kratete kekra tein te. If anyone he may send away, here we go back to Matthew the 18th chapter too, don't we? If anyone he may send away, forgive the sins. They have been sent away forgiven previously to them. If anyone he may keep or hold on, they have been kept. They have been caused to be kept. Matthew, the 18th chapter, he's talking about loosing and unloosing things. What we do on earth is confirmed in heaven, and it's written in heaven's legal ledger. That's what it says. Whatever happens here, those people that reject the Word of God, it's written in heaven that they did. Every time somebody rejects God's word, every time you witness to somebody and they reject God's word, it's written down in the ledger. They will face that one of these days. And those sins that are forgiven, they're written down in that ledger also. Well, 2024, do you have any questions? Was 2013...
As it said, if anyone... Talking as the church?
Yes. As a church. The church is going to be carrying the gospel. The church is the administrator of the kingdom.
So the church is going to decide what's a sin and what isn't?
No.
Okay.
The church is the church as a party. Matthew the 18th chapter and Matthew the 16th chapter. Let's go there real quick and just look at it real fast. Matthew the 16th chapter. Katamathion, chapter 16, and verse number, this is Peter's statement of faith, and then Jesus turns around in verse number 18, he said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, but upon this gigantic rock I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower her or wrestle her down, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He's not talking about Peter, he's talking about the church. the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall have bound on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. The church has the keys of the kingdom, or the administration of the kingdom. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is what's supposed to carry out the gospel in it. They ordain deacons, they ordain pastors, and they receive church members, don't they? Matthew the 18th chapter now tells us over there, if you got somebody unruly in the church, kick them out. You can't un... By the way, so much of the Christian world has the idea that the church and the family of God are the same thing. They're not. You can get kicked out of church, but once you've been born again, you will never be out of the family of God. You're in the family. You can't get unborn. But you can go contrary to a church, and you can get excluded from a church, especially Missionary Baptist Church. They exclude everybody every day. If you have been a member of a Missionary Baptist Church that haven't been excluded, you're a rare duck. Simple as that. We got about 1,000 of them here that have been excluded in this church. But that says there when you, and it tells in 1 Corinthians, that Paul told the church at Corinth to exclude this guy that was living in incest with his mother. Period. God was killing a bunch of them because they were perverting the Lord's Supper, all kinds of stuff. They were pretty big sinners, and I'm glad that they were that bad, because now the churches today have something to go by that standard. Very important, that letter, the 1 and 2 Corinthians both. But what the church does is they preach the gospel and they receive church members and sometimes exclude church members and sometimes take them back. It's just like correcting them a little bit is what it is. Correction. Discipline is for correction. God corrects us, doesn't it? A church ought to be have as much sense as our own parents when we're out of sorts with the Lord and with humanity and with our family. We got spanked up straight, didn't we? So basically, that's what discipline in the church is for, is to correct you. Not to be mean, but to correct. To not hurt you, but to correct you. All right? And that's what it's talking about here. And Jesus says again what he said in Matthew 16 and verse 19 and Matthew 18. Go over to Matthew, the 18th chapter. He's talking about church members here in the 18th chapter. Talk about who's the greatest in the kingdom and everything, and not to hurt the little ones. And then he says in verse number 14, thus it is not the will of the Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Okay? He's talking about children, and he's talking about young Christians. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won him. Now, the church is already in existence here, because he's telling, this is church discipline placed in the church. In the church, okay? And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed, which goes back in the Old Testament, you know. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. The church had to be in existence for this to happen, for this command to be given. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you a Gentile and a tax gatherer. Okay? Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. And I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that you might ask, it shall be done for them. And we're there in verse number 20 now. Here is something that people get out of sorts too. It says, where two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. It's not talking about people. It's talking about a church. Remember, where two or three, how many did it take to make a synagogue? 10. How many does it take to have a church, a legal church? Two or three. This is a legal church. This is church capacity, okay? Did that help you? Comprehend that now? All right, any other questions? Tanya, you got a question? All right. Any of you? All right, let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed and go out and do something eternal. All right. Brother Randy, we're good to have you here tonight. You don't have to get up. Would you mind dismissing us in prayer, brother?
Our God, we thank you for bringing us together tonight.